All right, Father, we thank you that we can gather here once again today and look into your word to learn about your word. Thank you for the light, the life, the truth, and the hope that we have in your word and in you and you alone. Guide us as we discuss and as we challenge each other and disciple each other here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the lesson today is about the word of God. And I don't know, I think I had a weird way of preparing. I just started putting down verses and things I could think about, and I thought, well, what all I have to say? And then it just kept growing and growing, and then I compared it to what their notes were. And so what you have in your handout is a conglomeration of things. Page one of the handout is the outline that we were given to work off of, basically. I just cut and pasted it. Then page three and four is kind of the notes I put together, things I had. And page five and six about inductive Bible study was another part of their handout that I put in there. So I thought that was good information. That's why I left page two mostly blank, so you get the inductive handout Bible study on front and back if you wanted to tear it off and use that. Also at the top there's a QR code that will take you to the electronic copy of this. There's a couple links in there too. So if you want to look at that. There's also some mistakes in here I found this morning that I've corrected in the electronic version as well. So the assignment was to memorize something, at least one verse. How many of you did that? No?
I didn't.
Anybody, how about anything you got memorized you want to share already?
I memorized Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Very good. Therefore, why is it? What preceded the therefore?
Not sure.
What's chapter 11?
Yeah, I don't know.
The faith chapter. The Hall of Fame of faith from Abraham, Abel, all those guys.
Oh, they're
the right, the whole right. They're the whole example. All these people are great men of faith.
Yes.
Therefore, you keep going. That's the challenge for endurance. Yeah.
Said if there's a therefore, you better find out what
it's therefore is. Therefore. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Comparing in 12:2 to Jesus.
Yeah. Who for the cross set before him who for the joy set before him.
Yes.
What kind of the joy? Like the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it says that again, tantrum. And it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What kind of joy does God give us if Jesus was willing to go through that for the joy that was set before him? Like, wow, that's a good one. Anybody else?
I don't have it memorized, but for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power.
Mm. What's the reference on that?
Chronicles, First Chronicles.
Maybe Corinthians?
Corinthians, Chronicles.
Yeah.
First Corinthians.
Yeah, sounded like Paul.
Yeah, it is Paul.
Good. What do you got, John?
Well, I'm like you. If you ask me what I have memorized, I sit there and I go, oh, no. When I get pressed, it's like, okay, you ever seen an Etch-a-Sketch? Somebody just shook my Etch-a-Sketch, and I'm going, okay, performance time. I don't perform under pressure like that, but we get into a discussion, like mm-hmm. you start talking about all
and then,
things. But there are a number of great passages that I've committed to memory in the past, and they haunt me when you try
to do them.
Yeah. Are you like me? I can remember the verse, but I cannot remember where it's at half the time.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
So that's why when I had you guys initially, I said you can't use John 3:16 because everybody knows John 3:16. So that's why I like John 17:3. Because it defines eternal life. I connect those two together when I'm in discussion with God, and I go, what's that 173 you have on your head? That's 17:3. For this is eternal life, Jesus talking to the Father. And this is eternal life, they may know the Father and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. It is not just a period of time. It's with someone, and eternal life is with God.
Okay.
That one's free.
John 3:16 and John 3:17 are already good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then I'm sitting there thinking,
for God did not, Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through me.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take a run at something. So what I'll tell you, my memorization story is going back to growing up in as Mennonite church, and usually on Sunday evenings they have service, but a lot of times like every other night, or maybe more frequently, they'd have Bible memory program for the kids, third through eighth grade, and usually the goal was 100 verses a year you were learning. You had a card, you worked through them. The third year was a camp card. After 300 verses, you got to go to camp, and then we had special cards after that. But then high school, I went to the church school, memorized some there, and that was it. I knew a lot of scripture. I spent time reading scriptures, and I memorized all these verses. But as far as memorizing again, so a couple years ago, I was in a class. Pastor Denny was talking, and he encouraged us to memorize some verses. Like, okay, I'm going to take a run at this. I don't know if I can memorize anymore. And much to my surprise, I could still memorize. So I've been working more over the last 2 to 3 years here on memorizing stuff. So this is my stack of 4x6 cards of stuff I've been working on. So the one, and this is the biggest one I've worked on, is Psalm 73. I know what you mean about performance, because I can sit in the office by myself and go through this pretty well. And I go, hey, Deb, listen, I want to try this out. And then I start stumbling and bumbling around. So Psalm 73, if you want to take a look and see if I can hack this. I'll get my own cheat sheet here in case I get in trouble. All right.
And if you know what it means, that counts.
Yeah. And the other thing about what I found is saying this stuff out loud, especially you go to Ephesians 2, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. It's like these are the best sermons you can ever give. All you got to do is quote scripture. You don't need to be a great speaker. Just quote scripture. But Psalm 73, there's great verses at the end that we like to quote, but the whole context is great. So I'll give it a shot here. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. See, I'm having trouble. Huh? They are not in trouble as others are. They're not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with folly. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens. Their tongues stretch through the earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them, and they find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, the increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For I am rebuked, stricken all the day long and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I beheld their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me with your right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So But I've been working on that for a month or 6 weeks. I don't know. I've lost track. It's been a long time. But yeah, it's a longer one. But then I got at the stack and I usually review, depends on the morning, how much time I have. I'll go through them and I keep reviewing them because I have to. Because if I get sloppy, a month or so goes by and then I'm stumbling through them again. So, but again, my stack's not very thick. I got a ways to go. And I will admit, being retired has helped out because I can spend more time on my devotions and things. I enjoy doing that. But some of this stuff, it just, for me, it comes down to repetition. Like on Psalm 73, I'd work on like the first three verses. They're two lines each. And then I'd start getting it. Then I start reading the next three to go along with it and try to keep adding. And so the next thing you know, you've got the first five verses really good and you're stumbling at the end.
Start adding some hand signals.
So, yeah.
Like when folks look them out, but, you know, like you're in front of people.
That's, yeah, that's true.
That's one of the things that helps me. I try to do that with the boys when they're reciting it and they, the next verse will have hands in it or something like that. And I'll go like this. Mm. Oh, and you see the light go on.
Yeah.
You go, wow. So it's the more sensory perception involves, you start singing it.
Yeah, what's remembered in song is remembered long. Learned in song is remembered long. Okay, so memorizing scripture is good. Why should we be memorizing scripture?
That's the better. 11.
Which is?
I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
That I might not sin against thee. All right. That is the classic one for memorization. Let's just go back to about prior to memorization. That was kind of a point of this. It wasn't the main point. But how about your daily, Bible reading habits? How do you do? What do you struggle with?
Travel.
Yeah. So I was out of town the last 3 days for a farm show, and you know you're up early in the morning to get everything set up, and then in the evening, kind of after the show, it's pretty common to go out to eat with everybody, and then by the time you get back to the hotel and try and do FaceTime back home, you're really kind of ready for bed.
Yeah.
And so travel is really difficult. If I can be in a routine, certainly makes it a lot easier. But travel is a hard one to where you just get out of the routine.
Yeah.
It's easy to.
Well, vacations are the same way.
Sacrifice that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Ever since I had my eye, I lost my eyesight in this left eye. And I gained part of it back, it's harder for me to read. So I spend most of my time listening. And I can read it as the guy is talking. I can look at it, but it has changed things, you know, in the way it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just a little harder for me to actually sit back and read the Bible more than it was before.
What do you use now to listen?
Actually, I'm using Bible Gateway. It's got an app.
Okay.
And then I can hit it, and it gives me a verse for the day, and then then I can hit the Bible and I can go and I listen to it.
Is that you version?
I mean, you can pick whatever verse you want to. Once you do it, you can pick whatever verse there is that you want to listen to. And you can listen to it.
Yeah. I use that. I think I probably use the same one. The one with the little Bible with the bookmark in it is the icon. Bookmark hanging out the bottom says Holy Bible.
That's, listen, it's got a Bible with the big bookmark in the middle. And
it's open. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bible and Bible Gateway is the app. That's where I look up all my verses to paste them into my notes. I also
there's a Bible study that was a John MacArthur one.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work half the time as far as speaking. You know, it does, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, this I think it used to be called YouVersion. I'm not sure what it is now.
YouVersion is it? There.
Yeah, and I also got this. I have a paid one. This Dwell. I think it was back when there was a monthly subscription, but for $150, you got a lifetime version, and that's what I've been using for several years. But it reads, it does a good job of reading. There's different voices you can choose, different translations. They also have devotionals and all kinds of stuff that I don't usually leverage. So
the ESV app.
Mm-hmm.
Version of it. They also read. You can choose men or women's voices, different accents, different speed. You can set the speed.
You can speed them up, yeah.
Yeah, and you're going, oh, and you can slow it down, and you can speed it up. But
what's that?
It's just called the ESV Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's the one that it just says, it's a circle with a calligraphy fancy ESV in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest problem with that is most of my Bible verses I learned in King James.
And that's just something I struggled with. I realized that I got that passage memorized from Ephesians 3, right, that we was reading. And when he started reading it up there recently, I realized I use the word abundant. The word abundantly is in there.
Yeah.
What's the King James say? Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That's imagine instead of think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we were laughing in Awanas one night. Steve was starting to quote a verse, and John and I chipped in and helped out. And it was like a combination of three different versions from back in the days, you know.
The right verses are Proverbs 3:5-6, mm-hmm. and they read it in, up there, and it says, "Make paths straight."
Mm-hmm.
And mine says, "He said, direct thy path." And I always like that better because I want him to direct my path. I don't want it just to be straight. I don't care what that means to them, but I want the Lord to direct my path.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite lines, I had a friend that always probably, older than I am anyway, and he said, I still use the King James. He said, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. So
I actually heard a preacher in a church say that one time, and I'm going, and I walked out of there, and Katie was with me when she was younger, and she goes, is that true, Dad? And I said, no, it's not. He didn't
say it as a joke.
James, and he didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so I guess, how's the other thing about Bible study or devotional time? What do you usually use for devotional time? You use a devotional guide, or you just read the scripture, or a deep dive Bible study?
I use this, the little verse that comes up first, and then I'm listening to scripture. But I also have apps that I've got from other sources that I try and read those every day, you know, which ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of it is in prophecy apps and others that I'm trying to hit around on, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's how I do it.
Good.
I prefer the Our Daily Bread. Booklets. I used to try to read out of the booklet, but what I've found is their app is good too. So oftentimes I use the app, and then I just have a journal that I'll open, and through the week I try to log every day, and just I try to write kind of a takeaway or a question from it that I like to kind of think on and ruminate on.
It's a good idea. Well, you guys got anything to share? You're kind of quiet over here.
I like to do inductive Bible studies. That's that's what I've done for since I was a teenager. I used to do precept upon precept with Kay Arthur, but recently just whatever the ladies' Bible studies are doing here is what I've been doing. So.
Okay. Yeah. That didn't, yeah.
Into technology, so I just use like Strong's Concordance and my Bible. Listen to what they study and go through that. So.
Good. How are you, Lance?
For like a month and a half there, they were sending out those emails. The church was from Pastor Josh. I was reading those. YouVersion has devotionals every day. So I'll get into those as well. Sometimes it's just scripture reading, you know, depending on, like, I finished this summer, but I read the entire, like, through the whole from start to finish. I'd never done it, so I did that. It took me a couple years, but got through that this summer. And so, it's just different things.
But. Good. I think I've been listening to that with that Dwell app. Been listening. They do a through the Bible in a year plans. I usually sit down. I open up my paper Bible and read along with it. They have the text on there as well. Do that, but then I try to go back and highlight some things and pray through some of the scriptures. I'm guessing you're going to talk. That'll be one of the points. Praying the scriptures. Probably something you'll talk about next week, included in that. So, and I think what I want to do is go some of those more Bible study methods because I never really have. Dove in like that. So as far as really just on a daily basis for doing that kind of studying. So, but I was thinking this morning, I was sitting there, I was looking at my, a couple books I got. This is just the Moody Bible Commentary. And then this is one Tyson recommended, is Systematic Theology, Grudem's. And this is a very human readable book. It's not, you don't have to be a scholar to understand this. So I've looked through that some different times. And then sometimes you get a Bible, you always, especially when you're, I remember learning this as a kid, so you open your Bible up to the middle, it should open to Psalms, right? That's true unless you got a third of your Bible is helps and stuff in the back, right? But I'm just saying, there's a lot of things about the Bible. And I think, and that's always kind of a, sometimes we get all distracted. We're all busy reading books about the Bible and studying that, those kind of things. And we don't read the Bible itself. And that's why my thing about like theology, I've never had formally studied theology, but I found that when I do read it, it makes sense because guess what? It's all based on the Bible. It's like, oh yeah, I can pull that out of there. That's not hard. So, I'm not talking about college level kind of theology thinking, but I'm just saying it's all based on scripture. And if you know the scripture, the theology makes sense.
And it makes sense of the theology because if the theologian has actually been studying the scripture, as opposed to secular philosophy, because that's the danger that you have that you'll find is. Those who don't come from the school of thought that believes that the Bible is the Word of God, but that the Bible only contains the Word of God, and you get to choose what is and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we make God subservient to us.
Yeah.
No, that's not what the Bible says of itself. Yep. This is the very Word of God. It's the bread of life. It's the it's the living water, all those good things. But I share with you what... It's not just been recently, but over and over and over, they ask theologians, what's the greatest problem you see in the church? And of all the myriad of problems that you can come up with, there's more and more of a consensus of ignorance of the scriptures in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're just ignorant of the Bible. We don't read it. We don't set it to memory. We say we love the Bible, and then we spend all our times in commentaries and all these other Bible helps as opposed to reading and reading and reading. What's his name? R.C. Ryle? Ryle's his last name.
J.C.
J.C. says, I got a little booklet. I got it online. And it was how to study your Bible. And he goes, okay, the first thing you have to do is if you want to know a passage, is you have to read it. And he says, now, don't just read what you want to study. Read the book that it is in. He said, I would recommend that you read the book at least 5 times before you concentrate on your passage. He said, there you go. 5 times. Yeah, so don't pick Ezekiel to begin with, because it's hard to read through Ezekiel 5 times, because it's a big, thick...
Jeremiah's your word. Jeremiah.
Isaiah.
But you pick a passage or a book that you're very familiar with. Like, you can read Ephesians in 18 minutes, out loud, with pregnant pauses. I know, because I did in a sermon 3 weeks in a row. I thought the congregation was going to have apoplexy the second week. I mean, they're going like this, because after 18 minutes, they're ready to boogie. Wasn't here. That's where we came from. Anyway, you go, oh, you can read that fast? It's not fast. It's not fast. It's 2,500 words, something like that. You're going, oh, how do you find out how many words there are? Just ask Google.
Yeah.
Google. What is it in the ESV? It's this many words, and NIV is this many, KJV is this many, and you're going, oh, so you have to be careful what translation you have, because what you'll learn is languages, there are different ways of thinking. So they got different syntax, they got different symbols, they got different word orders, they got different endings and all this stuff. That's why, for instance, the word picture in the Hebrew, when it talks about your path straight, the word for straight, one is a picture of a crooked stick for the crooked path, and the other one is a straight stick. Mm-hmm. But they're talking about your path. And because those are, is that a euphemism or it's a metaphor for those things. So you have to know the meaning of the word behind it. And you're going, what does it just say in English?
That's why I like, he shall direct thy path.
Yep. So, and that's an accurate translation, so he'll show you the way. Also accurate.
Okay. Well, so, I'm going to throw this out, a side note on straight paths. Because I started doing this. There's a verse in Isaiah. He says, and you shall hear behind you, a word from behind you, saying, this is a way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, all right? When you start getting off the path, right or left, you're going to hear the word from behind you giving you direction for going forward. And I started, all of a sudden, I started seeing all throughout the Old Testament says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Do not turn to the left or the right. It just on and on. And I got a long list of cross-references here that I put in myself for where all it talks about walking on a straight path and not going right or left. So that's a pretty amazing concept that comes from the Old Testament. So, but I'm going to launch into the Old Testament stuff this morning. I thought maybe Scott had been reading my notes, or maybe I was reading his. When you go back and talked about Pentecost, that wasn't the example I had, but the importance of the Old Testament scripture. I mean, there's an emphasis today. We always talk about the New Testament. And something that's been kind of bothering me last while is I haven't spent much time in the Gospels. When was the last time? Other than Christmas, we hear an occasional sermon from the gospel. We haven't been in the gospel. I've been here for 3.5 years. We haven't gone through a gospel yet. And I think sometimes we're so busy talking about what everybody else said about Jesus, what Paul said about him, we don't go back and look what Jesus said to begin with. So I'm don't mean as a criticism, but I think that's a caution for myself especially, that I need to get back into the gospels and do a deeper dive into that, because it's been a while since I read through them on a Bible reading.
Yeah, they just finished Matthew just before you guys came.
Okay.
He taught, was it 2 years? 2 or 2.5 years, or maybe 3 years?
Okay.
It took Scott.
Or Souder, Pastor Souder?
Yep.
Because he was preaching out of the epistles when I came one day. Okay, so I just missed it then. Okay. All right. Well, good. That's good to know. But anyway, I got some examples on there. It's in your hand out there somewhere. Okay, I love some of these verses, right? 2 Timothy 3, we like to quote the verse about all scripture is breathed out. Mm-hmm. But you go back to the prior verse, he says, verse 15, how from childhood, he's talking to Timothy, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He wasn't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was talking about the Old Testament. Luke 24, Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus. He opened their eyes and explained to them from the scriptures, the Old Testament, who he was. There's all that. And we miss so much And if you ever get a, if you ever want to hear details on all this stuff, go talk to Joel Nafshanger. Did anybody notice how fast Joel walked from the front of the room over to talk to Scott? Because he was talking about Pentecost and the Old Testament. That's why Joel went over there to talk to him. Mm-hmm. But I've taken some of Joel's teaching years ago back at Hopedale Church. And the fall, the spring feast, Passover, and all that teach about Jesus and his first coming. Rosh Hashanah, the fall feast, the Feast of Trumpets, that teaches about his second coming. So what kind of calendar do the Jews use? When's the day start for the Jews?
Night.
It starts at sunset in the evening. When does the month start? Based on what?
The lunar calendar.
It's a lunar calendar. So it's based on the new moon. Mm-hmm. All right? So
well,
Passover's
just starting, isn't it?
I think probably right around new moon. So Passover always comes like on the 14th, 15th of the month, I forget, of the Jewish month. Guess what? It's full moon. How do we know it's full moon at Passover? Because it's always based on the lunar calendar. Could not have been a lunar eclipse at the crucifixion because it was full moon, close to it. All right? But you go back to the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah in September. When does it start? It starts on the first day of the month of Tishrei. All right. So the first of the month, today we scientifically know exactly when that's going to be. Back then they had spotters to watch for the new moon. So you knew about when the month was going to start. You didn't know exactly. It's prophecy of the second coming of Christ. And the trumpet is sounded to start it off. The angel will descend with a shout. I got some of these verses here. Matthew 24:31, Jesus said he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call to gather his elect. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of the archangel, with a sound of the trumpet of God. It's all tied back to Rosh Hashanah. So we miss that stuff because we're Gentiles in the New Testament era. Joel will go on and on for days if you want to talk to him about that stuff. So, but there's a lot, and that's just some of the high-level things I remember. But here's a one I stumbled on. When you read the Old Testament, you realize Joel had a Messianic Jewish rabbi who said there's nothing new in the New Testament. And you start reading the Old Testament, you're like, oh, Paul quoted that. Jesus quoted that. It's everywhere. These guys weren't thinking up new things. They were expanding on it and explaining it. Take a look at Jeremiah 6:16. This is one that really struck me just in the last few days. Yeah. This is a verse. I've known this verse for a long time. I like this verse. I got it underlined. Somebody go ahead and read that from the ESV, preferably, unless you're what it says in other versions.
Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls.
Wow, find rest for your souls.
But they said, we will not walk.
Yeah, he said, we will not walk in it. But wait, you will find rest for your souls. Who said that in the New Testament?
Jesus.
Scott quoted that this morning in the sermon. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden. You will find rest for your souls. Now look at the rest of this verse. Wait, the roads, the ancient paths, the good ways, walk in it. Do you think maybe when Jesus said that to his disciples, it triggered all those images? Jesus uses those kind of terms other places too. It's like, wow.
Walk in the light.
Yeah, walk in the light. Yep. Paul probably refers to some of those things about being in Christ, walking in Christ, the good way. But I like that. I read that stuff like, wow. I love this Old Testament stuff because it's New Testament stuff too.
is what they said at the very end. But they said, we will not walk.
Yes. Yeah. Isaiah, Jeremiah is like, he got a rough job. I've been going, my Bible reading has been taking me through Jeremiah. Rough job.
That's why you call it weeping prophets.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and Jeremiah just you know, anyway, he complains about it sometimes. And then, Baruch, his right-hand man, Baruch says, he's talking about this, how terrible everything is, and God says, hang in there. I will give you as a prize of war, I will give you your life. You're going to escape. You're going to live. That's your prize. If you get to live through all this, it's like, wow, is that, what kind of prize is that, God?
And then you got to see all the other people die.
Exactly. Oh. Yes, exactly. So yeah, rough times. Or the one that floors me is Ezekiel. God says, Ezekiel, tomorrow your wife's going to die and you will not mourn for her. Wow. It's a rough, rough job being a prophet. Anyway. All right, let's backtrack. I don't know, backtrack, forward track, whatever. Does anybody know what the first article, what Article 1 of Newcastle's statement of doctrine is? You looked at it lately? I think it's in your handout on the probably page 3 there. Did I put it in there?
Page 3.
Yep, there it is. We believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the infallible Word of God, a divine revelation, the original autographs of which were verbally inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they are the supreme and final authority for faith and conduct. So that is a good, solid statement. And if your church doesn't have something like that in writing somewhere, find another one. Because that is where it starts. And they quote that those verses from 2 Timothy and 2 Peter. That is all breathed out by God. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active. It's the foundation we build everything on. And I remember that from, you can get a lot more information if you take the apologetics class. That was Chris Meddleman taught that one. Mm-hmm. But I remember one of the things he said is why people say, well, how do you know the Bible's true? And part of the response was, you know what, every religion has their sacred writings, and they don't apologize for it and try to defend them. But I think the Bible has a ring of truth to it, right? You talk about human nature, what the Bible says about humanity, and what our problems are, and why we have problems, and how wicked we are. The Bible nails it. Bible explains origins. Where do we come from? It's like, was there a beginning? You know? And you can find archaeology, and you can find science that fit well with Scripture. Make sense of it. And I'm always amazed when you find these studies. There's a book come out. It's a secular book. It's not a Christian book. It said the two-parent advantage. And talking about how kids who come from two-parent homes have a big advantage over the kids that don't. It's like, oh, the Bible says that, I think.
All over.
Yeah, all over, right? David, we're constantly told throughout Scripture to meditate on the Word of God. They talk about, you find studies about the value of meditation and quieting your mind and all these things. Like, well, the Bible says that, right? Now, the Bible says meditate on God. It doesn't say empty your mind or try to be one with the universe or anything like that. It does matter what you meditate on, but there's benefits in quieting your mind and being quiet. And that's something, too, we talk about. A lot of times our lives are full of noise and distractions, and we don't have time to think. Bible says, be still and know that I am God. There's a lot of benefits for sitting still and thinking about God and knowing God. I don't know. We got down by the Bible teaching us to pray. There was a class, what was that, praying like Paul or praying with Paul? It's a book by D.A. Carson. There's lots of prayers in the Scripture. I pray, Paul says, I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love. All right, there's
pray
one of them.
Before he prays.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, rightful response. Page 4 got down. It was, I don't know. But the Word of God being a weapon. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's why that's a big part of why it's important to memorize. You talked about that. I have trouble just reciting it off the top of my head, but in the situations that come up, and those words come to mind. And the Bible talks about the Spirit bringing things to mind, giving us words to speak. But it helps the Spirit out a whole lot if we got something up there already that he can reach back in the archives for. He doesn't generally just throw new Scripture into your head that you've never looked at. But he pulls
could
that
if
up.
He wanted to, if he
yes.
To.
Yes, he could.
As our old pastor said, he doesn't pour it in your ear.
Yeah.
You have to consume it. That's why it's described as food. It's described as drink. Those are necessary for life, and the Word of God is necessary for eternal life.
Yeah. And I think some of those come in with, I'm sure probably maybe all of you had those experience where you're getting this conversation and getting kind of a deep conversation. And afterwards, you try to tell somebody about it. You say, you know, I said some really good things, but I couldn't tell you what they are. You know, it was good at the time. And I think that's just the spirit. That's just the, that's for me, that's a big rush. When you're in those conversations and you don't know where they're going, and you know it's the spirit guiding you because you can't come up with that kind of stuff yourself. There's the other,
New York was full of those moments.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus, right? How did Jesus answer Satan every time?
It is written.
It is written in the Old Testament, by the way. It is written, and he quotes the Old Testament to him.
The Lord always said it is written, and you know, they always said that. And when you're looking at Revelation and that, even when the archangel Michael, the archangel, comes contend with Satan, yeah, he doesn't say, I rebuke you. He says, the Lord
rebuke you.
Yep. Now, it's not like, and you know he's got the power. He's the one going to bind him and throw him in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got the power, but he says, the Lord rebukes you.
Yeah. Yep. So the other one there with Matthew 4, I mean, I'd put it down here as, you know, quoting scripture and the weapon of the word, but there's also life there, right? Matthew 4:4, man, and he quotes, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that comes from the mouth of God. You're going to find life. Life is found in the scripture. And then you get the whole thing where in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the word personified. He is the word. So getting to know the word is getting to know Jesus. It's all, those ideas all just kind of flow together. And it's hard to comprehend it all. But there's life in scripture. And then I forgot. I went up and messed up this morning. I was thinking about things like, wait a second. Thy word is truth. Wait, I didn't put John 17:17 in there. I wrote it down, right? Jesus prayed, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Pilate asked Jesus that question. He said, what is truth? Kind of rather skeptically. And it's like, how ironic. You are talking to the one who said, I am truth. And you ask, what is truth? And you turn around and walk away. The Aslan story. I don't want to hear it. I don't really want to know.
He breathed into us the breath of life. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. Oh, is that word for breath?
There's
also wind.
There's a sermon this morning, isn't it? I didn't think about that one. Yeah.
So you sit there and you're going, so you go to Jesus and he says, unless you're born again, the wind blows. You see where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. It's the breath of God.
Yeah. Yep. Ezekiel and the dry bones. Yep.
Bring the dead back to life.
Yeah. There's another one. Conviction of sin is a big one, right? The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That's the old King James. Well, yeah. Yeah, the division of, but just, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him, and we must give an account. It reminds you of that saying, it says, it's not the things in the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the things I do understand that bother me, right? That's, a lot of people want to nitpick about some of the things that, oh, you can't understand this, you can't understand that. Well, there's a lot of things that are very, very plain, that are very convicting.
These who practice such things do not inherit eternal life.
Yeah.
They're not in the kingdom of heaven. You're going, whoa, yeah. It's just, and things such as the annual one.
Yeah.
It makes everyone undone.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like, yep, it. I'm pretty good. Don't people think pretty good?
Yep.
Well, compared to you, I'm really good, right? And you go, wait a second, that's not the standard. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, there, I do have some statistics in here, too. I did some of my own Googling. It's kind of like, what percent of evangelical Christians read their Bible daily or at least four times a week? It's like maybe a third, maybe half of the best you might see, but it's not there. But there's a research, some research that was done, I forget the name of the Christian research group. They found that there was a big jump. Christians who read their Bible at least four times a week, not three, but there's a big jump from 3 days to four, were basically the odds of them participating in behaviors like getting drunk were 57% lower, sex outside of marriage 68% lower, pornography, gambling, all of these are, any of these, like a 57% chance, less chance you getting involved in any of those things if you're reading your Bible at least four times a week. Sharing your faith goes up 228%, discipling others goes up 231%, memorizing scripture up 407%. But it's that correlation. If you're in your Bible that much, it means you're serious about your faith and you're wanting to take it to heart and learn and grow.
So
and it shows
3 days and 4 days.
And they said, yeah,
it made a big difference.
Right. Yeah. But again, you're probably getting a little more. At what point does it get more of a habit where you're serious about it or cursory? So I should put there at the end, I put some things in there. There's some IOUs. That's from a John Piper. I didn't put John's, maybe I did in there. I got that on my, that's the top card on my list. I try to read through those verses, pray through those verses when I'm starting to read scripture, because the Spirit's the one who reveals the truth of scripture to you. Those are good prayers. And he amplified it. There's a link to where he's got more information about that. The inductive Bible study, some questions to ask in reading scripture, what does it tell us about God, about people, how can I apply it to my life today? I'm doing that with those two young guys that I'm bringing to church. Sit down and read a chapter and talk about those questions. It's just a good higher level thing. It's not a deep dive necessarily, but just some good things. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. That's what this book about, a gospel primer. This is available out here. Ephesians 2, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God. That's a great passage to recite out loud every morning to remind you of the gospel. Some of those things. Okay, lots of other things on here. There is something, I corrected it in the electronic copy and added, on page 3, the importance of the Old Testament. The 1 Corinthians 10:6 is the wrong verse. What's written there is from 2 Timothy 3:15 that I talked about. 1 Corinthians 10:6 is a different one that applies to the same thing. So there was my mistake in there. All right, I went out on a rant. This is exciting stuff. This is really, once I started talking about this, I get passionate about it because this is the heart of what we believe, why we believe it. It's all found here in the scriptures. And if you want to correct somebody, I was listening to that. Somebody famous said something. They were quoting, this is on Matt Walsh, you know who he is. He's more of a conservative talk show. I'm not sure what his religious beliefs are. But he played this clip, and this guy was saying he was trying to support abortion as a Christian, he said. And he said, well, even Gabriel came to Mary and basically asked her permission she was willing to carry God's child. That's not how I remember that passage. And then Matt Walsh did his own commentary. He said, that's not what it says. He said, this is going to happen. And she said, so be it. Like, yeah. Okay, make sure you know your scriptures because people twist them. And you got to be able to know them to hear them. So, all right, let's close the word of prayer. All right, Lord, we thank you for your word that is living and active. And it changes hearts and lives. And it changes our heart and life as we just allow you in. Lord, we pray that we could be in your word daily. That you would bring your Spirit to impress the words upon us and to convict us of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Lord, that we might walk humbly before you and share our hope and our joy with the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Warren.
Yeah, thanks, Warren.